We will now begin our post-race media availabilities. We're joined by members of our race-winning team for the Foxwoods Resort Casino 301. We are joined by driver of the number 4 Busch Beer National Forest Foundation Ford for Stuart Haas Racing, along with crew chief Rodney Childers and vice president of competition for Stuart Haas Racing, Greg Zibidelli. Thank you for joining us. Congratulations, guys. We'll go ahead and open it up for questions. Please raise your hand and we'll get to you as soon as we can. We'll start over here with Jeff, and then we'll come right up here to Davey.
Hi, Kevin. Jeff Gluck from The Athletic.
What was your name again?
My name is Jeff Gluck from The Athletic. Denny gave quite an extensive, like, 8-minute breakdown of everything from his view. So I wanted to run a couple things by you because he had some assumptions about what you were thinking based on what he was thinking. So you initially went low to avoid a lap car, and he felt like that opened the door. So I guess, first of all, like, why did you do that?
Well, the lap cars were right in the middle of the groove with 3 laps to go. You know, there was 4 of them that were just, you know, just right where I wanted to be. So I had to do something, and I didn't want to lose momentum, and I was hoping that, you know, you could catch a break. And you know, as soon as I got to him, the front of my car just didn't turn as well, and that's really where his tire deficit, or our tire deficit, showed up. In clean air, you know, we were, you know, where we needed to be, and you know, ran faster than we had run all day. So, you know, the thing that it comes down to is the call that Rodney made in putting us in control of the race. We got a good restart, and you know, just the lap cars didn't play out for us, and some of the choices that I made allowed that gap to go away, and then it was defense from there.
So he said, so once he got position on you, he felt like...
Wait a second. He never got position on me.
Well, in 1 and 2, he was side by side. Yeah. So he felt like you both were going down the backstretch, like, pedaling it. Like, he thought that you were both kind of trying to decide with each other, like, who really wants to lead here? Because he thought if he led, that you would probably get behind him and push him up the track.
For sure.
So did you feel that way? And then he thought his mistake was that he should have had the power position on you on the bottom instead of going on the top and letting you
do that. I agree with that. Yeah. You know, I think, you know, for me, I knew that he was close enough that he was going to take a shot, and, you know, as soon as he got the opportunity. And I knew I didn't need to be in the third lane. I knew he was going to try to, you know, go through the middle lane and just try to get into the left rear and get me out into the fourth lane, and there's just no grip out there. So I knew going in the corner, I'm like, I'm going down here. He's going to hit me. I just need to survive the hit, and luckily I timed it. I got lucky in timing it so that as soon as he hit me, I was on the brakes and was able to keep the car straight, slow his momentum down. He got up beside me, and then at that point, I was half throttle coming off the corner. I'm like, you know, at that point, you want to have the last shot, you know, going into turn 3, and he let off a bunch, and I'm like, okay, well, that's fine. I'll take the bottom here and just you know, I didn't know what he was going to do from there. When, as soon as I saw him, I just kind of let the car have its head. And, you know, he got into the right rear quarter panel, and I was coming up at the same time to try to block, and it knocked the front end out from underneath his car, and we were able to drive up off the corner. So it turned into a wild finish, you know, just honestly, because I didn't get through the lap cars, navigating the lap cars well enough in the groove that I was running. I had to do something different. And, you know, our car was just at a little bit of a deficit there, you know, once we got to dirty air.
We'll come down here to Davey, then over to Mark and Nate.
Davey Siegel with Front Stretch. So, Kevin, on the initial restart, did you think you were sitting duck? And then once you got out to about half a second lead, but then Denny started creeping in on you, did you think that it was over at that point? And what was your mindset once he...
Yeah, he never really crept in on me. You know, we were able to, you know, to kind of maintain 4 tenths to 6 tenths, maybe down to 3. You know, and then he made a big mistake there with like 3 or 4 laps to go. And, you know, he got back far enough to where he had some cleaner air and got back to about the same gap. And I just didn't want to make big mistakes. I didn't want to just, you know, miss the entry. I just needed to hit my marks on entry and get the car rotated. And I really thought we would be fine if it wasn't for the lap traffic. But I thought we were sitting duck, yes. But you know, I knew our car was good, and I just didn't know what would happen after 35 laps on the tires. But we ran, you know, almost 2 tenths faster than we had run all day. So that's why sometimes you just have to suck it up from the driver's compartment, and they make the call, and sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. And today it was right because he put us in control of the restart, and really the key to that whole
that whole sequence of things was I didn't have to race the 20. I got a good jump on the restart. The 20 and the 11 got me that racing side by side, got me that 4 to 6 tenth gap, and it pretty much stayed there. And you know, and as soon as we ran 4 or 5 laps, my confidence level went way up, just because of the lap times the car was running, and I could drive it in the corner further and let off the brakes more, and everything just got better. So he knew that the car was better than I thought it was. And, you know, the only thing that really worried me was when Kyle shot by me early in the race on those two tires. And so, you know, we needed to just get through the first two laps, and we were able to do that.
What did this little guy think of the lobster?
What did it taste like?
It didn't taste good.
We'll come right down here.
Mark. It's on. Mark Carroll, PRN. Kevin, we're smiling here. You expect, you know, it's short track. Expect Denny to hit me, and you know, it worked out. So you're smiling. If it didn't work out, would it still have been okay? That contact and what you guys went through. If you wound up in second place,
you know, I think I just told him. I said we were leaving on a tow truck or winning the race today. So, you know, I think it's just that point, in the way that racing is now, you know, with all the chances that you have to take, and whether it's from strategy or blocking or pushing somebody out of the way. I mean, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. I feel like I did what I was supposed to do to try to win the race. Or just, you know, when you're in position, you just have to lay it all out there and see what happens. And today we came out on the right side of it, so I don't have to worry about what would have happened.
We'll go to Nate, and then we'll go right here in the front.
Nate Ryan, NBC Sports. Rodney, on the call that Kevin said you made to take control of the race, there were, I think, 18 cars in the lead lap. So caution with 35 to go, the leader pits, and you are one of only 3 cars that stay out. Were you surprised that maybe half the cars in the lead lap don't stay out at that point?
Yeah, the guys that were leading the race, I was really surprised that they pitted. Yeah, when we went green with 80 to go, we had already decided that if there's another caution, we're not going to pit unless we get shuffled back to 8th or 9th, and we can maybe put some tires on and drive back up through there. But when I told him to stay out, I honestly thought we would restart somewhere in the first two rows, and then everybody pulled in, and we're sitting there, the leader, when he comes into sight, and I'm like, what in the world? But anyway, you know, you just don't ever know when that's going to work out. You know, I felt like we had a good car the whole race, and you know, anytime we could get clean air or far enough back from somebody, he was faster than anybody on the racetrack all day long. And then, you know, every time we would run somebody down and get within, you know, 5-6 car lengths of them, we would slow down 2 or 3 tenths a lap. So, you know, the clean air was huge today. And honestly, like he said, it was all about getting a good restart. The 11 and the 20 kind of racing each other for a couple laps and getting out there. And it seemed like after 4 or 5 laps, the tires would kind of equal out. So he did a great job on the restart and got us where we need to be.
I know that these races are always tough to call, but like you said, it was a track position race, and 2 tires earlier seem like the way to go. I mean, is it getting tougher to call these? Is it more stressful for crew chiefs, and are they more conservative? Is that why you saw maybe only 3 cars stay out?
I told him this Monday, I think it was Monday night, that these races are the hardest to call of any in my career. You know, they're... whether it's a 550 race or a 750 race, you know, the tires don't seem to wear as much. They don't fall off as much. It gives everybody a lot of opportunity to do different things. So even when you think that you've got it right and you put 4 tires on, you think you're in the right spot, and then a caution comes out and somebody else can put 2 on, or somebody can stay out, and it just keeps shuffling it. You know, you saw that at Kentucky and a lot of these places. So they're tough. You know, a lot of it is just confidence and doing what you think's right. And there's been a lot of weeks when I felt like I didn't do what was right. And it's all about just you know, having that confidence, you know, again and doing the right thing.
Well, Kevin, could you just comment on winning 3 of the last 5 here and tying Jeff Burton's record?
Yeah, this place has been really good to us. And I think Rodney and I probably feel like we should have won them all. But it's been a racetrack that you know, has been, here's it right here, has been really good for us from a performance standpoint. And I think, you know, from a confidence standpoint, coming here this weekend, being able to adjust on the car and you know what we're looking for, I think this is definitely a racetrack where a lot of those things came into play. And used a lot of the same things that we've used in the past as far as tools of how we make our car go around a corner. So there was a lot more relevant this weekend to the things that we've done over the past few years, and still very different. But you know, I think you know, obviously it's been a great racetrack for us.
We'll come over here to Bob, and then in the back to Matt.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. I have one for Kevin and one for Rodney. Kevin, did the traction compound impact things at all?
Well, for sure. You know, I think I think the only thing that everybody probably will look at and say that they wish would have worked a little better is that fourth lane. I think everybody anticipated that fourth lane to have a little bit more grip than what it had. It really didn't. Nobody ever even ventured up there, but definitely, you know, would change and wore off, and especially on the entry, and the bottom was remarkably better than I thought it was going to be right off the bat. I think a lot of that has to do with the modifieds running down there, and they sprayed it a little bit again last night. So that stuff's always tricky. But you know, I think in the end, I still think it's helping our racing. You know, and I think as we get better at it, and I think you know, talking to Jay Fabian this weekend and just some of the things that we need to analyze and look at, and we can get better at it. And I think that's definitely a plus for NASCAR racing and racing in general.
And for Rodney, is that a call that you make if you have anybody at the wheel, or is there anything particular about what Kevin can do on old tires that you leave him out? I mean, how many guys do you think could do what he did today?
You know, that's one of those things. You got to have somebody that's going to drive the car, that's for sure. You know, they asked me on a TV interview after we didn't pit. And, you know, honestly, he's won four here, I've won four here, and I've won more by doing that than I have by putting four tires on and driving through the field. You have to have track position, and you have to have control of these restarts and control of the race. And, yeah, we always know on the pit box that he's going to do the best he can do and get the best restart he can. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to believe that we're going to restart here with 42 laps on our tires and the guy behind us has got sticker rights on and we're going to outrun him. That's hard to imagine at times, but, you know, this year has been crazy like that. When we were halfway down pit road at Pocono and I said put two tires on the car, I would have never done that years ago. So, you know, it's just part of it. Like I said, some of it's just trying to get some confidence and learning about this package and what you got to do to win races.
Before we continue, are there any additional questions for Rodney or for Greg? Okay, we'll keep them here then. We'll continue with Matt in the back. Go ahead.
Matthew Werns with 22 News. Kevin, I have to ask you, I know you've been voicing your opinion about short track racing, and this weekend we saw Newman and Priest hop in a modified. Hemric and LaJoie went and ran the dirt track at down the street here. Can you just talk about how important it is for you guys to support short track racing?
Yeah, you know, I think that the momentum over the last few years has been really good since we, you know, have kind of voiced our opinions and you know, I think, you know, when you see NASCAR and NBC and the campaign that they have going on right now and you see the guys in the garage, you know, going to the short tracks for us. You know, this year we've done contingency programs with some of the short track series. We have one at Stafford, and that's been way more impactful than anything that I think we've ever done just because, you know, it's a weekly help. And it's not a lot of money, but it's a big impact on the competitors. And so just showing them that you care, you know, makes a difference and make them feel involved. And you know, this part of the country, I think a lot of people overlook it for racing in general just because of how much racing and how, you know, how many racing enthusiasts there are in this part of – racing fans there are in this country or in this part of the country. So, you know, the Oxford 250 really opened my eyes to that. And you know, a lot of those fans have followed us here and come back every year and show their support and still talk about us going up there. And so the Stafford connection for us has been really good. And Ryan obviously started that on Twitter, and those guys at Stafford did a great job of kind of bannering back and forth. But honestly, they're some of the best promoters in the country. and do a great job for their competitors and give their competitors a great place to race. Bill McAnally, we do a contingency program with him. If it wasn't for Bill, I don't think the West Series would even be functioning with his support and care to the, you know, the K&N West Series and even the East Series. I mean, he had three or four cars in the race yesterday. And, you know, so, you know, just being able to help in different ways is fun for me, and seeing what all these guys are starting to do. And you see Larson, I mean, he obviously has been doing it, and Stewart's out who knows where. He's on his way home from Eldora, actually. I just talked to him. So he's driving the hauler home. I think he's driving the hauler home. He's driving something home. But, yeah, so that's been great momentum to see it catch on.
We'll stay over here. We'll go to Lee and then over to Jim.
Lee Spencer, RacingBoys.com. You guys have been able to maintain a high position in the point standings without a win. But my question for Zippy or Rodney, you guys feel like you have cleaned up the miscues, the mechanical issues, all the little bugaboos that have kept Kevin out of victory lane this season, especially with six races to go getting into the playoffs?
Yeah, well, first off, I've had a big part of knocking the sides off these things lately, keeping us out of victory lane a couple of times. And I think when you look at, you know, look at the rules package, you know, you have to be so aggressive, and that aggression falls into the steering box at Pocono. It falls into the strategy of the races. There's a number of things that the way that you race and how you race and the things that happen to the car that are different. So, you know, it's been, we've all made a ton of mistakes. You know, and I think as you look at it, they haven't all been in winning positions, but, you know, you could go right from the beginning of the year and say, okay, well, we chose the wrong direction on the cars, but, they've done a great job of getting the cars back, you know, with speed and performing well, and we've made mistakes. But, you know, I think in the end, you know, everybody, like I said to several people earlier, whether our cars are slow or fast, whether I run it into the wall or he makes a call that doesn't work out or whatever the case may be, we show up the next week, and the only thing we think about when we make the first lap on the racetrack is we have a chance to win. And, you know, everybody else might not think that, but we legitimately think we can win every race. And, you know, we've had the cars and the speed to do that with leading laps. But mentally, that's just the attitude of the whole team.
Is some of that tough competition leading to some of the failures, not with just you guys, but we saw, you know, Hendrick had issues today. There were seemed to be more mechanical issues today.
Issues? They might be out of cars.
Than normal.
Sorry, I didn't mean to answer questions.
Can just Rodney and Greg talk about winning the first race this year for Stewart Haas and what that means to you guys?
Yeah, from myself, it's I mean, obviously any win in this series is important, and you know, it's so important to our guys back at the shop because we have sent them in every different direction that we could, and they just keep working and doing what we need them to do. So, you know, this win is, I think it's been a humbling year for all of us. I mean, I think it's been a frustrating year. Obviously, after the Cinderella year that we had last year, and our stuff fired off really good at the beginning of the year, and we honestly, we didn't anticipate anything less than that this year. But, you know, in sports, that's not always the case. So I'm proud of everybody. I'm proud of Rodney and Kevin and our other drivers and crew chiefs for just pushing and voicing their opinions and allowing us to make things better. But I will sit here and say for everybody, we had good cars today, and I think we had better speed, but I don't think anybody should think that we're where we need to be. And that's the exciting part to me, is we did win today because we put, you know, Rodney made a great call, put Kevin in position, but I still think we can go home in our meeting on Tuesday and we can still make our cars better, and we will make them better and be ready for the end of the year.
Jim?
Jim Mutter, motorsport.com. For Kevin, sort of a following up on what you told Lee, your mental approach to each week is that you have the capability of winning the race. The longer it goes, though, and you don't, do you get some frustration that builds? And is there some personal satisfaction that all of it was able to be put into place today?
Honestly, you know, I'm excited that we won, but it doesn't really – we won't have a different meeting than if we didn't win. We won't have different conversations. We won't treat each other any differently. And it really doesn't change anything. I mean, honestly, this is what we're supposed to do. This is what we get paid to do. And, you know, it's our job, and we expect it. We expect to go out and win races. And, you know, on the days, and I've said this for several weeks now, it's almost a game of, you know, how do we fix it? How do we get to where we need to be? And how do we put ourselves in position to try to win a championship? And so sometimes those years are more fun just because more fun in the end. They aren't more fun in the middle just because of the conversations. But, the satisfaction that comes out of you know, turning things around is sometimes, you know, more rewarding just because of the fact that it takes a lot of people to do it. Like, you really have to step back and realize that, you know, I can drive the car, but there's no way that I can do anything close to the amount of work that goes into putting these cars into production on the racetrack, changing things. And you know, I'm a small sliver of it, but I can tell you, confidence is never anything that we will lack.
We'll go ahead to the back.
Bob Bartis, WSMN 1590 Nashua. Kevin, 2 years ago you won here in the blue Ditech car. Last year you won in the blue Busch car. And given the color scheme today and the Foxwoods Resort Casino 301, what are the odds we're going to see a blue car for New Hampshire 2020?
I don't think my car was blue. Was it blue today? It was kind of brown and green and had a deer on the side of it. Hey, was it green? What color was it? I'm kind of blind. No, oh, it's green in the front. It's like forest green in the front. But anyway. Yeah. Whatever it takes. Yeah. So we enjoy being around the Foxwoods people. You know, they treated us very well 2 years ago when that relationship started, and to see all those guys in Victory Lane over the last couple of years and have that relationship with them and know how much fun we had up at the resort is something that's fun. So that part is a lot of fun to see people that believe in our sport and want to promote the things that they do around it.
Okay, we're going to go ahead and let Rodney and Greg head out of here. Thank you, guys. Congratulations. Thank you. Kevin, we have 4 more questions for you. We're going to go ahead to John right here in the middle, and then over to Jerry, Jeff, and Pat. Can we get a mic over to him, please? Thank you.
Good job.
He's got 5.
Between the car and the ice cream that Bruton kept feeding him yesterday. He sat up there with Bruton Smith yesterday, and all they did was eat ice cream. And how do you tell Bruton no? You can't tell Bruton no. He made us eat the Dove bars. How many did you eat? 3?
5. Does Mom know that?
Mom wasn't happy. I said, if you have a problem with it, you take it up with Bruton. So we ate all of Bruton's Dove bars and his corn dogs yesterday, didn't we?
I didn't eat corn dogs.
I did. I had 3 of them.
Go ahead, John.
Okay, John Haverholm, NM Motorsports Report. Just as a driver, was today like a fun, like classic, like smaller track kind of race with like the high amount of horsepower and the PJ1 making more lanes through the turns? Was it just like an enjoyable race?
It was different. Obviously, you know, winning the race makes it more enjoyable. And I think, you know, for us, we've had a good car all weekend. So, you know, I think going into the race for us, we felt like it was a chance to win a race. And the way that Rodney called the race, obviously, I think you can tell that it was, you know, he was going for the win. So that makes it more fun for sure.
Come down here to Pat.
Pat DeCole at NASCAR.com. I don't know if you saw, but on Twitter, Guy Fieri offered to help you cook the lobster. So when are you going to Flavortown?
Look, Guy sent me a grill, and he's been trying to teach me how to smoke everything. No, it's a Camp Chef grill that he does a deal with, and so he's been schooling me on so we cooked ribs and a chicken last week, so we look like a freight train in the backyard, don't we? Smoke rolling everywhere. Neighbors probably think we're crazy, but yeah, it was good. Keelan cooked pizzas with Guy a few weeks ago, threw them up in the air. So yeah, Guy's in chef school.
We'll go over to Jerry.
Jerry Jordan, KickingTheTires.net. On pit road after the race, Denny said he didn't want to do you dirty and get into you, and he could have dumped you. How much of that was going through your mind that he could have dumped you, and is he just saying that now?
I mean, look, he took his shot. You know, and I think at that point, you know, it's kind of you do whatever you have to do. It's the last lap, you know, and I think he thought he was going to move me up out of the groove, and I don't think he expected to me be in the middle of the racetrack and be on the brakes and all the things that there was just a lot of scenarios there. You know, when you look at last year and moving Kyle up out of the groove, I don't think he expected, you know, to be up out of the groove at that particular point in time. And I think, you know, he did what he had to do. And it's just like last year, like I didn't want to dunk Kyle. I wanted to move him out of the groove and try to win the race. And I think that's what Denny was trying to do. So we race hard and try to do each other as good as we can and still not sell our team short. But, you know, I've been in a position where I've dumped somebody and you know, it doesn't work out well for you as you go through the end of the year.
And we'll wrap up with one last question.
Steve Richards, the PRN. Kevin, what happens to the lobster? Is he going to get a reprieve?
I gave him to the team. Last year's to the team, so we'll give it back. We'll give it to the team because, unfortunately, in our house, things wind up getting broken. The last one turned into a bicycle ramp because the lobster got destroyed. So that's I don't know who wrecked it. But at one point we had a claw that we were taking to the Smith's house, chasing Miss Cassie around with it. She didn't think it was as funny as we did, but we had broke it at that point. We tried to have fun with it, so we broke one. There was no recovery on that one, was there? So we had to take him off, and it turned into a skate or a bicycle ramp.
I don't know if you were going to eat him or if you were going to let him go.
Let him go?
Yeah. Reprieve no. From the governor.
No, we're not letting him go.
Okay.
Tell PETA to call me. If they don't like traditions, right. They know my Twitter account. They've tweeted me before.
All right. Well, thank you, Kevin. And Keelan, congratulations.